T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Toy Drive Live as we broadcast for 24 straight hours. We're making one final push with the Fans 15th Annual Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, courtesy of Blaine's Farm and Fleet, and presented by Annex Wealth Management. Go to 1250amthefan.com to donate online or to find the nearest fire station to drop off your toys. Now back to the show with Tim Allen on 1250 AM The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. 15th Annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin. We are on the air 24 hours and getting as much to the kids at Children's as we can. And it's a, this is an understatement. Evan Heffelfinger, myself, Tim Allen, this would be an understatement that, it would help out. It does a lot more than that. It really does. And my experience, I will say this, that many years ago, my nephew, I have four sisters, the vast majority of them have multiple children, and it's just all these holidays, all these kids running around. Who is having all these children all the time? Anyway, it's just real busy, but one nephew ended up with a brain tumor. And he's still with us today. I saw him last week, as a matter of fact. He lives in Michigan right now. But he was, 14 range, when they detected brain cancer. And we spent a good many hours at Children's. And you want to talk about the professionalism and the top doctors? I mean, if you're going to have something like that, that's the best spot you can be in. And for me to walk around and experience that at Children's was the most humbling, sobering feeling that you could have. And you didn't want to have some of the kids see you blink here, because some of the kids, you peek in, say hello, and it was your heart was breaking on this. I always, Evan, me. I mean, I'm not a guy that is bleeding heart, if you will. But it's that type of thing. It will change you. It changes you. And then, to have that happen with, a family member like that, is just brutal. And so any toy, a monetary donation, I can promise you makes a difference. It will make a difference. It just crazy. So the Fan Toy Drive, 15 years of this. They're appreciative of this, but more importantly, the kids are too. And to see them grab a bunch of toys, it's just really cool to see some of the kids get together at the facility, and they'll be playing video games. They'll be playing, with their dolls or whatever. Whenever you get them, goes to good use, because 5 minutes of these kids smiling is worth it. And Evan, you've done something on Twitter for this broadcast here. Explain that to me.
Well, first, I kind of want to talk about what Children's Hospital means to me too, because I do have experience there. Luckily, the worst thing that I was ever in there for as a kid was pneumonia and a broken arm. and I got my tonsils removed when I was a kid. But
okay.
I mean, just incredible care. I have family members who work there. And in fact, I may even know the person who operated on your nephew. Believe it or not, I may. Mm-hmm. And it just, such incredible work is done there. And like you mentioned, anytime that you can see a smile on a child's face when they get a new toy, I mean, it feels good when it's your relative, but when you see someone who doesn't get much or they're in one of the worst situations you could ever imagine, and that bright spot, it fills you with joy. It really does make you feel good. And in kind of in honor of that, and I'm sure people know I have a day job now. I work here with you, and I'm still very appreciative of that, but I have, I guess, money a little bit.
And, like a real job with real money.
Sure. And, you know, growing up, my family never had a ton of money, but my parents always made sure that my sister and I had incredible Christmases. And now that I have a little bit of disposable income, I want to do the same. I want a kid to feel as happy as I did waking up on Christmas morning and going and seeing the tree and seeing the presents underneath and just that whole atmosphere. I want kids to have that experience. So I tweeted out at the start of the show that for every like that my tweet got, I would donate $1 to the toy drive. And as of right now, it is up to 74.
And okay, nice.
I would like to see that keep growing and growing. I don't know. I mean, let's just see how far it goes. I want to see how far it goes at this point.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just retweeted it from the fan account. That's a pretty easy way to donate, or go to the fan's website to donate. And just anything helps. If you want to drop off some old toys to fire stations, to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, I think they're doing drop-offs. Anything helps at this point, and we really appreciate all the support. We really do.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, Evan, again, we radio dudes, broadcast guys, just guys in general, I think. They like to play this bravado thing, and yeah, you know, I'm no exception. I just tell you what I do, and I'm getting out to Vegas two or three times a year and banging on a guitar, getting drunk till 2 a.m, playing rock and roll. I mean, all that aside, this is real deal. This is, you know, no one's going to judge you if you feel bad for kids. I mean, come on. That's pretty simple. You don't have to be a parent at all to understand it either.
No, because even the headlines that you see on the news can be gut-wrenching when you hear what some of these kids have to go through.
I've experienced in years past of St. Jude's, you know, fundraisers and things like that. And, you know, that it's just, it's heartbreaking. It is. And, you know, sometimes the kids are stronger, sick kids are stronger than I am, which is crazy. I know what it's like to have a challenge. Believe me. Those of you that know me, you know exactly what it is. Those that don't, it doesn't matter. But, I know what it's like to have a challenge. It's nothing compared to what they're going through at Children's. I'm just saying. It's just nothing. It's not that big of a deal. It's really not that big of a deal, comparatively speaking. Okay, top of the hour, I had a conversation with Bruce Levine, longtime baseball guy out of Chicago. He works for The Score. In Chicago. We're going to have that for you at the top of the hour, but we need to get into a little bit, Evan. Let's just roll the clock back a little bit, pretend that there is baseball, pretend that there was a baseball game tonight. Brewers take care of the Pirates 6-1 final, and Corbin Burns goes 6 2/3. Williams and Hader wrap things up. Okay, and the Brewers traded Jackie Bradley Jr. to the Boston Red Sox along with a couple of minor leaguers in return. They get outfielder Hunter Renfroe. And when you – now, I had band practice last night. So you were the first – Evan, your text was the – and I'm in a – I practice out in, those of you that know the area, Trevor, which is west of Kenosha, about a half hour. It's – I can't get a cell out there. And so I have to wait until I get near I-94 before I can get
wow.
a proper cell. Seriously, it's just nuts. There shouldn't be any square inch that doesn't have a cell.
See, especially in 2021. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But you were the first text, and I went, whoa, wait a second.
Well, because at first it was just the first tweet that I saw, I think it was from Ken Rosenthal, or it may have been even Will Salmon, that it just said the Brewers acquired Hunter Renfroe. And just on that alone, I was like, okay, awesome. I don't know what we gave up. Hopefully it's not a ton, but that's your Avi replacement right there. And then just a couple minutes later, the greatest bombshell of all time dropped.
Now, Brewer fans need to prepare themselves to, and again, this should make a difference. It should be all about Hunter Renfroe. But we will keep our eyes on JBJ and what he does back in Boston.
And wish nothing but the best. We want him to succeed.
But you can't hardly get worse. He was the worst qualified hitter in the game last year.
If I remember correctly, he was 72 points below average.
That is just, it's tough. And, you know, I got to hand it to that guy, JBJ. He always faced the criticism. He didn't back down. He didn't avoid the media. He was out front with it, and he couldn't figure it out. Much the same as Christian Yelich. Sometimes you just can't figure out. There's no real reason why something like this happens. But nonetheless, as we talked with Will Salmon last hour of The Athletic, we see that you save a bunch of money. You are giving up some capital here. And they were two top 20 prospects in the system. But you do return, and the way Will put it, you get an Avi Garcia. I think you get more than an Avi Garcia. Would you say that Avi Garcia was clutch? Do you think Garcia had the clutch gene in him, Evan? Because I didn't.
It's weird because he did hit some really big home runs this year. If I were to look, I think he had multiple home runs, go-ahead home runs or tying home runs in the eighth inning. I know that.
It just didn't seem like he was that guy. I think, you know, I'm not saying Hunter Renfroe is or isn't. I'm just saying maybe he's going to be a little bit more on the clutch side. His defensive skills, Renfro's, far, far better than Avi Garcia's. That's a commodity the Brewers will really appreciate. If you recall, do you remember the game out in San Diego where Eric Sogard's wife and daughter were in the stands? And
absolutely.
She had tweeted out, and the daughter was crying, and you know that the reason the daughter was crying was because of Hunter Renfroe. Because he's the one, I think, that either retied it or won it. Did he not win it with a home run? It was something like that. But that's that guy. Not to be confused with one of Evan's wide receivers, Hunter Renfroe, for the Las Vegas
Thank
Raiders.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. No, I have him on one of my rosters as well. But I am super excited. The more you dip into the numbers, 31 home runs, 96 knocked in. I mean, that's better than Avi, offensively. I love it.
So, Tim, funny enough, I went and looked at Avi's high leverage stats because, you know me, I'm a nerd. I like that kind of stuff. He was actually the best in high leverage situations.
Really?
Between low leverage, medium leverage, and high leverage, which I'm assuming is probably seventh inning or later in a game that's three innings or less, something like that. In 88 at-bats, he had 27 hits, 32 runs driven in, 5 homers, a .307 average.
The best
910
on the team or the
OPS.
Best in the league?
Well, just his best split, I should say. So, like, compared to, you know, the fourth inning, he was better in high leverage than a regular situation.
Wow. And it's, you know, again, the money does play a part in this. You know, we're talking about, you know, Avi Garcia, who signed with Miami 4 years, $53 million. I think the Brewers, if Stearns had to do it again, I think he would make the qualifying offer.
I thought they were going to give him the qualifying offer because it was, what, $7 million more than his option, I think? $6 or $7 million?
Right. And so when you look at, you know, $18 million, that's That's a big draw. That really is. That's a very expensive outfield between Yelich, Lokane, and $18 million Avi Garcia, had he taken the qualifying offer. But at least at that point, had he declined it, you would have received some compensation. And I think based on the contract he got, he would have declined that, him and his agent. I'm pretty sure. But was it that big of a risk?
For this team, possibly. We don't know how cash-strapped they are. And the fact that they cleared salary, but also said yesterday, David Stearns did, that they're looking to add pieces now. I don't know what their cap situation looks like, but either way, with some pretty high name guys going into arbitration, they needed to cut salary, and paying Avi $18 million, that was probably just a little too rich for their blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was risky is really what it was, but you would get, and people forget about this sometimes, it's not all about the money, it's what you do on the field, and Avi did pretty damn good. He really did. So were you out that much if he would have taken it? You could have also thought about it this way. Had he taken the qualifying offer, maybe be moved in July by the deadline. That's quite possible that would have occurred as well. But so be it. They ended up scaling back some payroll with JBJ. They do lose some prospects. But again, the team control is a couple of more years under Hunter Renfro's career here. So I personally, everything I'm reading, and I don't know Hunter Renfro, you know, more than, you know, a lot of guys, but everything I'm reading about here, Evan, it seems to me that he's going to fit quite well, and I think Brewer fans are going to love him.
Well, he's got some familiar faces in Eric Lauer, Luis Urias, Pat Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to fit right in. He seems like he's a pretty good guy. Great player. We know he's a great player. Incredible power. I think that he's going to step right in. There's your right-handed power hitter, your four hitter probably, and now it's on to see who's going to play first base, who's going to be your sixth inning man, and at that point, there's no holes on this team.
It looks like that on paper, but Pat Murphy warned us, you know, everything looks good now, and we can play the what-if game, but it really does, and I love doing it. Omar, behind the dish, Rowdy at first, Colton Wong, Adames, Urias around the diamond. And don't sleep on Luis Urias. I mean, he's proven it to me. He has proven it to me. I got to say, I thought for a while there he may have been just a part-time player. He may be an everyday guy, Evan. He might.
I think the trade for Willie really helped jumpstart him. And, I mean, he was not great to start the season. If you look at his numbers in April, they were not good. We thought, oh, man, what did David Stearns do trading Trent Grisham for this? And look at both of the players in that trade. Eric Lauer turns out to be one of your most dependable starters as the fifth starter. And Luis Urias, with a 20-plus home run season, showed decent defense at every position besides shortstop in the infield. And he looks like at 23... he's going to be a great player in this league moving forward.
Now I understand, and now hindsight's 20, and that's why Craig Counsell and David Stearns, Matt Arnold are paid a hell of a lot more than I am, because they knew. And I remember doing some post-game shows back in April and early May saying, and you remember this too, Evan, when I was saying, hey, look, why is Luis Urias getting all this playing time here? It's almost as if they're force-feeding that trade to be a little bit better on the surface, and it proved that they knew what they were doing with Louie.
Well, and also, it's probably a little bit on us for rushing to judgment about a 23-year-old. Yeah. And it's kind of just the way that sports are now. You want instant results, and it just doesn't work out that way. Like, who knows? Keston Hira, by 2024, might be a 45-home-run hitter. We have no idea. He
can't
still
give
could
up
be.
On him.
You can't. He has shown that he is such an incredible hitter when he's not in his own head. And
I don't know what happened to him. How does he swing and miss like he does? Get your eyes checked, Keston. That's
think about a long-term infield of Rowdy Tellez with 30 homers, Keston Hira with 40 homers at second base, Willie Adames hitting 280 with 25 homers, and Luis Urias at third hitting 30. Could you imagine? Add in Yelich, add in Garrett Mitchell, and Sal Frelick in the outfield. That is a team that is scary for years to come.
They're definitely going to hit for some power. Hunter Renfroe adds to that power. He had 31 home runs last year for Boston, and he is into the mix here for the Brewers' 2022 championship run. If you want to jump in here, 414-799-1250. If you can donate either monetarily or a toy, we would love that. That's why we're on the air here tonight. It's the 15th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest with Annex Wealth Management, Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We'll be right back. Also, some NFL conversation, the ever sort of liked news and notes segment.
I love them.
Coming up as well. There's Evan Heffelfinger. It is his real name. My name is Tim. We'll be right back. 1250 AM The Fan.
WSSP Milwaukee. You're listening to Toy Drive Live as we broadcast for 24 straight hours.
It is Christmas time.
Thank you for listening and happy holidays from The Fan.
You're listening to The Fan's 24-hour Toy Drive Live as we raise money and collect toys for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest on 1250 AM The Fan.
Welcome back. It is nighttime broadcasting here back in our natural habitat. There's Evan Heffelfinger. My name is Tim Allen. Brewers get a victory tonight. We'll take your calls, 414-799-1250. Brewers remain in first place. No, I wish. I wish we were back in those days. I really miss baseball. I don't miss it anymore because of the lockout right now, because you wouldn't have it anyway. But there is that undertone, that underlying what if that comes into play. Each and every year there's what ifs. This is the biggest what if ever in baseball. Whether or not there's going to be baseball when opening day comes around. It's the 15th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin. And, you know, normally we'd be on site out in the parking lot and heaters going and you guys rolling in and so impressive. And now, hey, times have changed a little bit. We'll get back to what we used to do. There's no new normal here. We're just going to get back to normal. That's what we're going to do eventually. But right now, I get it. We have to have certain protocols, and we'll do that, and we do that virtually. That's what we're doing here on the air, and you can donate virtually, 1250amthefan.com. Click on the Toy Drive link. If you're out and about, you're rolling around doing some work tonight, or you can make plans tomorrow on your way to or from work, you got a half day or whatever's going on, you can stop at some of the fire stations that will accept donations as well. And again, all the details, 1250amthefan.com on the Toy Drive link. And we've been, you know, at this thing 15 years. It makes a huge, huge difference. And if we can help out that way, we're going to do it. And we've done that. And now we're asking you to do the same thing. Evan has done the same thing. You like his tweet? Is that what it is?
Yep. Go to my Twitter at EvanHeff25, or it was retweeted from the fan's account, 1250 AM The Fan. Every like that tweet gets while we're on the air, I'll add another dollar. And right now we are up to 81.
There you go.
Let's get that to triple digits. I want triple digits.
Yeah, absolutely. So send it around to your buddies and like that tweet, and then Evan will make that donation. So something popped up with Major League Baseball. It's a work stoppage, if you haven't heard. But also today, I was a little concerned yesterday about, you know, the meeting, the face-to-face meeting lasting 30 minutes, and then they take a break, and then probably have lunch. That was a morning meeting. They meet again in the afternoon for 35 minutes. There's still 9 hours to go before the deadline would lapse last night, and they decided we're good. Both sides, we're good. That may have been one side, either the owners or the players' union, that had said, forget it. We're done. We're going to take it to the end. But just on the surface, there was 9 hours left. And they didn't meet heading into the deadline. That, to me, Evan, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with lack of communications. Communication. Well, I have a lack of a problem with lack of communication at work. I have a problem with lack of communication at home. It's just the easiest thing to do is communicate with each other so we all know what's going on. These guys meet twice for about a half hour, 9 hours to go to the deadline, decide not to meet, and just we'll just head into the lockout.
What I don't get is why have they not been working on this for months? You knew that this was going to happen. We've been talking about this collective bargaining for, what, 2 years at this point?
2 years, yes.
We knew that it was going to get ugly. Why did they wait until the last possible second to meet when we knew that it was a formality that they were going to lock out? That's why Rob Manfred had his letter ready to go at, 11:01 Central Time PM last night.
Yeah.
That's why everybody was ready. That's why MLB.com pulled the pictures and articles of the players from their website. They knew that this was coming. Why could they not have been already going to like an arbiter and trying to find a solution in this? Why do we as fans have to wait months? And who knows? This could last a long time. We might lose baseball over this because they waited and just couldn't even start a dialogue until this week.
Casual fans don't know the... That's no disrespect. Casual fans are casual. I'm a casual fan of the NHL. I'm in that category. I don't, I watch maybe the Stanley Cup. If I got some money on the playoffs or a future bet, I'm into it. But that, I would be classified as a casual fan. Casual fans of baseball, they don't understand the gravity of the situation yet, Evan.
Yeah, there is a lot at stake right now.
Yeah, that might be the good thing, though. That is a good thing. The timing of this being the offseason, unlike 94, where they just said, nope, we're done. Now that.
Yeah, that in 81.
Yeah, yeah, that was, wow. But that's not this situation, so if there is a saving grace. Now, you're preaching to the choir on, I've done shows the last couple of years. Post-game shows, fill-in shows that said, why are you guys not meeting now? You know this is coming. I mean, I don't understand how communication is just simply lost in this. Some of my colleagues here at work, including management, they know how I feel about communication. Talk to me. Just talk to me. Good, bad, or indifferent, we can all handle finding solutions. If there's an impasse, we'll find a solution. The world doesn't end because Tim doesn't agree with something the radio station does. The world's not going to end if baseball players don't like what their bosses are doing. The world's not going to end if baseball bosses don't like what their employees are doing. It's that simple. And sometimes the pragmatism and communication is lost. It's sad. It's kind of sad. But I was educated a little bit by a conversation I had yesterday with Bruce Levine, who a mind and a person that I really respect in the baseball world. And he's been around a long time, not calling him old, but he's been around a long time covering the game of baseball as well as the world of sports, but mainly baseball. It's just a good baseball mind. He also, as you'll find out, had an interesting role in a union himself. And he educated me on how some of that process works out. But let's go back and listen to that conversation we had yesterday with the Scores, Bruce Levine.
Well, because they all want to keep the money on their end. So, it's like if you're a fan out there, and, I've been covering baseball and labor for the last 40 years in baseball, there's no one to root for labor and player negotiations, okay? I mean, you might want to take the player side because those are the guys that you watch and you fall in love with and make your team win. But it's just all about, trying to divide up your money. You, the fan, it's dividing up your money and how they want to spend it. Never lose track, and it's always important for owners and players to keep in mind that the fans are all about supporting this sport 100% or more, if you could have more than 100%. And they have every right in the world to be involved, every right in the world to be angry, every right in the world to be happy when something good happens. But rooting for a side in labor negotiations, you do not want to go there.
It's significant in this regard, because I think you're right with the fans and everything. The significance of the dollar, the almighty dollar here, the greed, some would say, between the two sides. I understand getting what you can get. You're a business owner. You want to make what you can, but you have to have the resources to do that. So you've got to pay the employees, and the employees here are the players. And you're right that us fans, we're enamored by, wow, Christian Yelich, MVP a couple of years ago. He's my favorite player. I'm on his side. But it really comes down to the pie is big enough to split it up. And I'm just wondering why there's not more. And again, I'm not on the inside, Bruce. I don't know. But why there aren't more pragmatic conversations, communications, men and women looking people in the eye saying, okay, where are we at here? The legal ease of handing these documents, 78,000 pages over. I understand that part, but why can't we communicate by voice and agree in principle? Wouldn't that limit the amount of time it takes?
Well, if we were living in an Eastern European country where it's a socialist, that theory would fly. But we live in a democracy, and you remember the movie Wall Street and greed is good. That is democracy working at its very best, to try to get as many dollars for you and your side and to make as much as you can. That's, it's not a bad thing. I mean, in the sense that, we live in the greatest country in the world, regardless of the problems that we have, and democracy is the greatest, situation for any group. But, as one of my close GM friends used to say, when he would see, players making a certain amount of money and then all of a sudden ending up broke, he would always say, the money doesn't come with instructions. So you see teams and individuals spending this money like it's going out of style, and that's just it's just a product of where we live and who we are. I mean, we can't relate to those numbers, mm-hmm. but on the other hand, Tim, we're very fascinated by it, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And that's funny you bring that up. That was my next question. It's relative to them, and that's why. Occasionally, I get furious over the number of these contracts. As you mentioned, Texas Rangers, they're just empty checkbook. It doesn't matter. $325 million contract followed up with $175 million contract. I think that's maybe drawing the division here amongst the two sides, at least from the fans' perspective, saying, wow, okay, how much money do you need? But again, it's relative to Brent Suter making, $2 million a year, and these other guys making that. Still $2 million, I believe most of them would do it for $2 million, honestly.
Yeah, you're right. Look, the prime example of what works and what doesn't work all the time in baseball is the Milwaukee Brewers. And you and I have talked about this on the air and off the air. The fact that the Milwaukee Brewers have been to the playoffs 4 years in a row because they have great management, a great general manager, good ownership. And the fact is that they don't spend the most money, but what they do is they get the very most out of the players they do get, and they're very careful about the people that they bring in and how they develop their own players in their system. It's a very, very unselfish system, a system about if you came there with a selfish attitude, you're not going to stay long. Because it really is in Milwaukee all about winning, and you see a prime example of that from ownership down every year the last 4 years. So my point here is that you can spend all the money in the world here if you're the Texas Rangers. If you're not bringing in the right people, it's not going to matter. You might win 15 more games, but you still might not be in the playoffs, and you still might not have the type of clubhouse that pays attention to the important things about winning every day. So from that perspective, you have to be careful about who you give the money to and how you represent the rest of your payroll when you're going about building a club.
Bruce Levine, longtime baseball beat in Chicago, works for The Score. And Bruce, I've never been in a union labor relations sort of negotiations, if you will. How does that work with these guys? How much time are they investing in, you know, face-to-face meetings? Are they productive, or is it more so, hey, let's have a conversation over the phone, over Zoom? How does this all work?
Well, having been in union negotiations during my career and being a union steward in a union working for a radio station, I can tell you educating the group is important. Trying to over-educate them is a mistake. By that, I mean you need to get them up to snuff on what the issues are and what they're trying to accomplish. But don't over-educate the group on the minutia of what's going on, about whether you're getting a suite on your own on the road, or that you know, they're going to make sure that you have you know, a personal jet at your convenience from time to time in your contract. Those things are not important. So make sure that they're up to date on all the important issues, and keep them. You know, there's strength in numbers, so they need to be out there. The superstars need to be out there at the forefront, showing that they represent the union as well, because those are the guys that stand to lose the most if there is a lockout or a strike. Mm-hmm. So they have to be there. They have to be showing solidarity when these things occur.
Some of the sticking points here, from what I understand, and again, you know, whether it's Passan or whoever, Nightingale, I guess there's a couple here that have been popping out consistently. One is free agency after 5 years instead of 6 years. We saw Chris Bryant fight that thing and lose a year or two ago. They want arbitration eligible after 2 years instead of 3 years. I thought that's what the Super 2 was all about. Hey, perform well, and then you can earn arbitration eligible in that third year. And then you have the playoffs, and then playoff TV revenue. Are those the bigger of the items?
Well, the biggest item is the owners are going to tell you, because of the cord cutting and cable subscribers going down, that they are going to have a very difficult time projecting what the regional sport networks, and that is, you know, probably 17 or 18 teams that have regional sport networks and totally – you know, involved in those cable companies selling subscriptions, they're gonna tell you that because of cord cutting, that we don't know how many people are gonna be subscribing. We don't know our revenues from TV the last couple of years are gonna be the same going down, because it's dropping. But there's no doubt. You know, you talk to anybody in any industry that's connected with cable, and they'll tell you that cord cutting is dropping cable subscribers. That's a no-brainer. So they're going to say that they're not going to get the same amount of TV money. Tim, the one thing that that the players will be going after is the new revenue, which could go from 25 to 100 million a team, depending on how this goes, and that is from gambling. Okay, you know, here in Chicago, you know, next year, both the Cubs and White Sox will have gambling facilities at the ballpark, okay? And prop bets, from what I'm told, prop bets will only be able to be had at the ballpark. In other words, they won't be able to be done through via, you know, computer or any other legal way that it's being done at this point in time. So they don't know how much money is going to be brought in, but they're going to want a piece of that pie. And they're going to be fighting over these projections about those economics here. One of the major things for the players also is the fact that players' average careers are about 4 years. They are fighting really hard to make sure that the minimum comes up from the $575,000 they have a year, which is a lot of money in real people's lives, but not in sports figures' lives, to around $1 million a year minimum. So if a guy has a short career in baseball, he still has the opportunity to make $3, $4, or $5 million and go on to a real life existence after the fantasy of having played Major League Baseball. It's an important from the factor of getting players to play Major League Baseball instead of basketball, instead of football, because the sport has really lost a lot of the top athletes to those sports because of their popularity. So these are some subtle things that are being considered as well when they sit down and try to hash this whole thing out.
Yeah, just shy of 800 players per year in the major leagues is based on 26-man rosters. But, you know, a million a year, that tells you what kind of scratch they're dealing with here, Bruce. I mean, you're dealing with just if you were to pay everyone the minimum at that price, I mean, you're looking at almost $1 billion in payroll, just the bare minimum at a million. I mean, pisses off the fans.
Well, I mean, look. Athletes are always going to get paid more, and the top athletes are going to get paid more than that. And you're right, it upsets fans, and it puts more pressure on the athletes, because the more they make, and, you know, like if you're saying $1 million is the minimum, okay? But consider this. Consider that every time Max Scherzer goes out and pitches, he's making probably $1,200,000 next year. Okay, for his 33 starts, if he makes 33, it's going to be way over $1 million a start. So, you know, you have to put this into perspective here. And if you try to relate to athletes like you do your neighbor mm-hmm. and yourself, you're going to drive yourself nuts. You're not going to like sports, and you're not going to attend any, and you won't watch them very often, because there's just no reality. Just remember that most athletes' careers are, you know, most baseball athletes are 4 years, and then they have to go out there and find themselves some real work.
No, and I understand that. I certainly do. But I also, I guess, get a little bit of human nature involved here, too. And I've said this for a decade, on and off the air, Bruce, and I believe this. If you – and I'm not all against players. Believe me, I'm not. They've worked hard. They've earned it. They've put themselves in the right position to succeed at their craft. But – I've said this for a long, long time. If you were to just wave a magic baseball wand and just say, all of you guys, from the top all the way down to the 575 Jake Cousins making the major league minimum out of the bullpen in the Brewers, you're all getting 50% of what you make. Now, they're going to scream and they're going to holler and they're going to say, we don't like this. But in a matter of time, most all of them will come back.
Well, I mean, you're right. We had an example last year when most of them made less than 33%, right?
Mm-hmm.
For that season, you know, for 60 games. So, you know, maybe a little bit more, like 35%. They had to get by on whatever they got by on. Okay, that was a reality for baseball players during the pandemic. You know, it was a reality for owners during the pandemic last year in 2020, where there were no fans, except for a few places toward the end of the year. That was tough. But, you know, fast forward a year later, and you're seeing $2 billion being spent in 10 days by the clubs. And most of it is being spent by five or six teams.
And okay? That bolsters the argument for the players that, hey, guys, you got enough. You got enough. You can do a maybe not necessarily a hard cap, but you can definitely do a floor. You can do a minimum per team that would save sort of the integrity
They would do that in a minute. They would do that in a minute. That would be a salary cap, and that's what the owners have wanted for a long time, because that would be that. Then you would be locked into when you made trades in baseball. They would be like the NBA, where you're trading peripherals. You're trading contract for contract.
Yeah,
and that doesn't. And you see teams. How many years, Tim, in the NBA do you watch teams year in, year out, get capped out and can't make the changes that they want to make to get better right away.
Okay, real quick, Bruce Levine out of Chicago. Just a real some more fun baseball conversation, and that is within the Central here. I know the Cubs are sort of in a rebuild kind of deal. You're seeing some of their superstars just they're gone, and again, Yan Gomes comes in, but nonetheless, you have the St. Louis Cardinals that. I don't know, for whatever reason, they fired their manager. What do we know about this? How did that happen where Schilt is just out?
I think it was just a power struggle between, the general manager and the manager where there were some coaches' jobs and coaching philosophies that Schilt did not like. And he wanted his way. He didn't get his way. And I think it was a time that they separated. So, it's hard to see because there's a tremendous amount of respect for Schilt and the job that he's done in St. Louis. He's a baseball lifer in the Cardinal organization. So that was a tough move to really watch. He's a classy guy, and I'm sure he'll manage again. But that was just a power struggle there over,
yeah.
It's my team. No, it's my team.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's still cutting bait on a lot of talent. I mean, they're still doing it. Stallings is out. And then you have the Cincinnati Reds, and I think they're a little bit better. I like David Bell. I think he's a go-getter. I think the Reds' day is coming. I think they're on their way. I don't know if it'll be this coming season. And then
I don't think so, Tim.
No?
I think the rumor has it that they're going to trade some more of their veterans, like Castillo and Gray. That they're going into a rebuild mode again. They do have some good looking young players that are coming through, but I think the Reds fans are going to have to sit a couple more years, watch this turn around. And Pittsburgh, how many rebuilds can you have there? It's gone on forever.
Yeah, and then finally the Milwaukee Brewers, as you said, four consecutive years into the playoffs. Craig Counsell doing an amazing job. I thought he was a little subpar in the postseason. I questioned several of those moves. I talked to his bench coach, Pat Murphy, about those. And, it's analytical-based, and it's also gut-based, and he reaffirmed that that's the way they do things. But your thoughts on the Brewers here real quick as we'll turn you loose here, Bruce. Their pitching, I think it's going to be as good or better than it was last year. They're in great shape there, but their position player group, that's where the question marks would be.
Yeah, obviously they need offense, and the Yelich contract really weighs them down because there's so little that you can do there. You can hope and pray that he gets back to being the player that he was, but I don't know how realistic it is. Ever since he broke that knee, he's not been the same player, not even close. So, they don't have the residual dollars in Milwaukee to go there and spend $150 or $200 million every year on a superstar. When it doesn't work out, it kind of reaffirms to them that, hey, we can win without paying a superstar a tremendous amount of money here. We can win by having a great farm system, developing people well, managing them well, bringing in the right people with the right framework about winning, and having arguably the best manager in baseball and a tremendous front office. Milwaukee is a team that should be admired and looked at by a lot of different teams and a lot of different cities in baseball as this is how you do it without breaking the bank. To a certain extent, the Los Angeles Dodgers under Andrew Friedman has done the same thing, even though they had the most money coming in of any team in baseball. They didn't run it that way. When they needed to be stealth and spend the money, they did. Normally, those 10-year contracts are a huge mistake. You can do it like you have done it by developing your own players, going out there, finding players that fit in with what you want to do, just having the best scouting people in the world as well. So the old school way of getting baseball players that fit into the plan of how you want to win and how you want to go about running your organization, that still works. Metrics or no metrics, metrics are important. But, the ability to understand how a player fits in your system is still king, as far as I'm concerned, as to how you win championships.
Yeah, there he is, Bruce Levine out of Chicago. And that was our conversation yesterday. And it just is sad. So we're going to turn the page. We'll get into some more just baseball stuff that does not include technically a large lion's share of, you know, lockout stuff and disagreements. We'll get into some news and notes after the break. A little update on that Thursday night football game. The Cowboys, they're going to beat the Saints. This just in, too. Taysom Hill is not a good quarterback.
What?
Just saying. I know. This may surprise everybody except the New Orleans Saints, but he was not a good quarterback last year or the year before. He's a gadget guy. And they, for his efforts, well, they give him a 4-year deal. I know NFL contracts are not fully guaranteed, but they can always get out of that thing. But Taysom Hill is not a good quarterback.
He's not a quarterback.
That's true. He isn't a quarterback. He's a gadget guy playing quarterback. But, yeah, looks like the Cowboys are going to get their 8th win of the season, and we'll get into that and a lot more up next. This is all part of the 24-hour broadcast here, as it's the 15th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, and we would love to be out and about in the parking lot at Blaine's Farm and Fleet with our friends at Annex Wealth Management, but it's just not to be this year. So you jump online, 1250amthefan.com, and you click on the toy drive link. You can donate money. You can find out where you can drop the toys off. We're excited about this, and more importantly, the kids at Children's are excited about this as well. There's Evan Heffelfinger. My name is Tim Allen. It's 1250 AM The Fan.
WSSP Milwaukee. You're listening to Toy Drive Live as we broadcast for 24 straight hours.
It is Christmas time.
Thank you for listening and happy holidays from The Fan.
You're listening to Toy Drive Live as we broadcast for 24 straight hours. We're making one final push with The Fan's 15th annual Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, courtesy of Blaine's Farm and Fleet, and presented by Annex Wealth Management. Go to 1250amthefan.com to donate online or to find the nearest fire station to drop off your toys. Now back to the show with Tim Allen on 1250 AM The Fan.
The 15th annual Fan Toy Drive is on the air right now, and it is benefiting Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. And, you know, with the Waukesha tragedy, that some of the kids that were affected, again, tragically, are being treated at Children's. And that might be your way to, you know, kind of help out both the individuals affected in Waukesha as well as the rest of the kids at Children's Wisconsin. You can log on to 1250amthefan.com to make a donation, find out all the details. By the way, the fire stations that are accepting toy and monetary donations will be taking those all weekend long. So it's not just this, you know, particular 24-hour period.
It's on our website as well. Every single fire station in the area that is still accepting them, and there's like, I'm looking at the list, there's like 10, 15 of them. They're on our website, on the toy drive. It should be on the front page of our website. Just click on that link. That's also where you can donate.
And also, Evan Heffelfinger's Twitter account has now hit triple digits. You like that tweet, and he will, for every like, he will donate $1 to Children's Wisconsin.
We're up to 112.
There you go. Good job, Evan. All right, time for the ever famous news and notes, and we'll start with the current Thursday night football. It is a final. Cowboys, to no surprise, take care of the New Orleans Saints, 27-17. You have a Tony Pollard touchdown. You have a defensive score for the Dallas Cowboys. And then on the other side, how did the Saints get in the end zone for the fantasy players?
So while we were wrapping up the last segment, I checked. Taysom Hill, a 70-yard touchdown to Deontay Harris. I didn't see the pass, so I don't know what the play was, but even with a 70-yard touchdown, Taysom Hill's numbers are just shockingly bad.
Wow. Yeah, it's just they've got some issues here. And you know, you lose Drew Brees, that's one thing. You lose Michael Thomas, that's another thing. You lose Alvin Kamara, that's another thing. That's tough sledding for the Saints. Okay, news and notes. Milwaukee Bucks, they won their ace straight yesterday. We'll get to tonight's game in a second here. 8 wins as of yesterday over the Hornets. 127-125 win. Giannis had 40-12. Middleton with 21. The Bucks at that time were 13-8 with that eighth straight victory. And you were in the house last night, Evan. I was listening to some of that game as I was again at band practice. But I would step out and have a smoke, flip the radio on. The crowd was going crazy. That was so cool to hear.
That was one of the best crowds I've ever witnessed, whether it be at the Bradley Center, at the Fiserv. I was at opening night this year, and yeah, for like introductions and the ring ceremony, it was crazy. But beyond that, it didn't get too rowdy. Last night was incredible. I mean, it was 10, 12,000 fans all screaming in unison and into the game, reacting to every single play, getting up on their feet, cheering,
at Middleton
booing
three
the refs.
Late, you guys went bananas.
Oh,
wow.
I probably said a lot of things. I blacked out for about 20 seconds after that. And then Giannis's game winner, you could see the play coming from a mile away. They stuck him in the backcourt, and I said to my friends, I said, oh, he's getting ahead of steam, and he's going to the basket. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. He scored an easy, well, for him, I'm sure it's pretty easy. For anyone else, it's a ridiculously tough finger roll. And then just a half-court shot went in and out two times before it was all said and done.
Yeah, tonight, a different story. They fall. No Giannis. He did not play tonight. But they fall tonight. So you can't get that 9th win in a row. They lose to Toronto tonight. Any details on that game, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, with Giannis out, it's a little bit tough to expect a win, especially on the second night of a back-to-back going into Canada for that game against the Raptors. They did have a nice comeback late in that game. They were down double digits most of the game. 97-93, the final. Drew Holiday had a great game, 26 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Chris Middleton, 22 points on 8 of 20 shooting. But you know that when Sandro Mamukelashvili is playing 23 minutes, you're probably not looking at a win. And just they couldn't stop Fred VanVleet. He had an incredible second half.
Yeah, figured.
Ended with 29 points, 4 assists. And Pascal Siakam had his customary 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. And that was pretty much game over at that point.
News and note about money. And it's baseball related.
The Pink Floyd song or like real money?
Well, real. This is real money, guaranteed money. The days leading up to this lockout, did you realize that there was $1.4 billion doled out in payroll?
Absolutely unbelievable. And 500 million of that, no, more than that, almost 600 million by the Texas Rangers alone.
There's enough money, and they're still fighting. Well,
yeah, I don't want to hear the Texas Rangers owner cry broke when he just paid a couple of nine-figure salaries.
Yeah, yeah. AP Pro 32, the latest in that ranking, has the Packers at number 2 behind the Arizona Cardinals.
Really?
Again, yeah. Again, this is... This does change. I know there's a couple of different, there's the power ranking, and then there's the AP Pro 3-2, and this has still the Packers at number 2, but NFC kind of dominating the top. Arizona Cardinals, as I said, at number 1. Green Bay at number 2. Tampa Bay sits at number 3. The New England Patriots have worked their way up to number 4. They've got a big game on Monday night against the Buffalo Bills, but how about New England at 8-4? Belichick, Mac Jones, and company got some things rolling here. I'm not particularly sold quite yet. I mean, they're leaning, it's pretty heavy lean, into the right direction. That's certainly true. But there's still, you know, 5-6 weeks left in the NFL season, and I just can't discount a Baltimore, Buffalo, even a Tennessee to get righted a little bit. Certainly Kansas City. Are the Chargers the upstart? Are the Bengals the upstart? So still a lot can happen. Not 100% sold on New England. You, Evan?
No. I think, okay. I mean, it's a rookie quarterback, and what they've done is great. They still have maybe the best defense in all of football. And some of those guys that they sign, like Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. I mean, Hunter Henry's one of the best tight ends in fantasy right now, which isn't saying much, to be honest. But they've built a really great team and have kind of rebounded fast after losing Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like you said, the Ravens exist. The Chiefs exist. The Bills exist. The Chargers exist. The Browns, the Bengals. I think any of those teams could beat the Patriots at this point, probably.
Yeah, any given Sunday, the AGS stat.
Your favorite stat in the world.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more prevalent. You mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs. They sit at number 5. Let's see here. Ravens are at 6. Now, again, you're looking at the Ravens with a record-breaking buzzer-beater field goal from Tucker. I mean, it. 16-10 win over Cleveland with 4 interceptions from Lamar
Jackson. A
loss
to the Dolphins, which they got absolutely manhandled in that game.
Yep. Yeah, so I, you know, that might be a little bit too high in my world. Let's see. Buffalo falls to 7. Tennessee drops out of really the upper echelon into the 8th spot in the AP Pro 32. Bengals in at number 9, and Dallas prior to this win tonight, rounds out the top 10 in the Associated Press Pro 32. Adrian Peterson was cut by the Tennessee Titans a week or so ago. Well, the Seattle Seahawks have signed him to their practice squad. I was surprised at the release from Tennessee, Evan, weren't you?
I was, too. And now, Tennessee, they do have some pretty good backups like Deontay Foreman, but
Hilliard is good too, yeah.
When you look at his numbers, I mean, Adrian Peterson was nothing more than a goal line back. He was, yeah. I think his numbers average was like 10 carries for 22 yards. He was not doing much, but that's still a really valuable guy to have around the goal line.
Okay, this I had to read this too, and again, I won't get too deeply into the baseball lockout thing, but this from USA Today's Bob Nightingale yesterday. MLB lockout, no more negotiations scheduled ahead of Wednesday night's CBA expiration. They stop meeting with 9 hours to go to the deadline. Really? Wow. Okay. I don't know at all, obviously, but wow. I mean, you still have 9 hours. What can we get done in 2 hours, let alone 9? We'll give you a few breaks here and there. There's too much on the line here. Okay. Tomorrow, Jersey Day. It is Jersey Day. Unfortunately, Jackson Sparks, and I made mention of this yesterday, but it's worth repeating, the 8-year-old who lost his life in the Waukesha tragedy was a baseball player. He will be laid to rest tomorrow as his funeral. That is indeed just a horrible, disturbing, and tragic situation, as you guys know. Baseball jerseys will be worn tomorrow for the day to honor Jackson Sparks. And I'm in. He played for the Waukesha Blazers. And I'm not a big Evan. I'm not a big baseball jersey guy. But
yeah, you're more a memorabilia than jersey.
Yes. Yes. More of a, you know, track jacket pullover type wear, if you will. But I have some jerseys, so I have to pick out which one I'm going to wear in honor of Jackson Sparks. So keep that in mind as well, that just throw on a jersey and let everybody know why. Boxing, Frank Gore against Darren Williams. Darren Williams, former NBA player. Frank Gore, former NFL. They claim they're not doing this for the money, just for the competition. It's a 4-round bout on December 18th. Not for the money? You sure about that? I wonder how much they're making on that.
Oh, you know it's in the millions.
I don't know about millions. Really?
Yeah.
You think it's that much?
I think it's a bare minimum of seven figures.
It's an undercard. So, I mean, it's not like they're the main event, right? I'm just guessing.
I don't think so, but you also have to think, like, that's why people are going to buy the pay-per-view, or at least the casual fan. The boxing fans are going to buy it no matter what, but the casual fan's going to go for Frank Gore versus Darren Williams.
I know years ago, Ed Too Tall Jones, he was a lineman for the Cowboys, went into the boxing world, and that was more legitimate than what we're seeing these days. I mean, truly, he wanted to be a boxer.
These celebrity matches do nothing for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. Because some of the times they are for just money, and they don't even really fight that much. Do you want to know how much both of them made in their careers, respectively? Darren Williams made $157 million off of contracts alone. And Frank Gore made, let's see, according to Spotrac, he made $63.2
million. Wow.
So both of them made a combined $212 million, and they'll probably get another $1 or $2 million now for this fight. Maybe it really isn't about the money. Maybe they just want to get their name back out there. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not sure. There's a big size difference in this bout, which is going to put Frank Gore behind the eight ball, but we'll see. Yeah. This will be featured in another news and note just after the 18th, after they actually get in the ring. Oneida, before the break here, this is cool. I've always wondered. I've done a lot of talk shows on this, gotten you a lot of details. You guys gave us a lot of feedback on this, why you can't wager on sports in the state of Wisconsin. But you can wager on a bunch of other things. You can gamble, I should say, on a bunch of other things. You can gamble on playing bingo or scratch tickets, lottery. You know, there's a square pools and strip cards and all this other stuff. Oneida, going to have sports wagering. Thumbs up to the Oneida Nation for getting that thing done. How far behind do you think Pottawatomie is on that, Evan?
Oh, you have to assume that they already have the ball rolling.
I would think it will be in the next, I'm going to guess, I have no inside information on this. This is just maybe wishful thinking, but also maybe an educated guess, too. By Christmas, they'll announce
something.
Oh,
think it's going to be this recent?
Yeah, very quick.
Okay.
Very quick, yeah. Because this Oneida thing, I don't even, I read a ton. Is this something I missed that they had been working on this? Because I saw no reports that this was on the table.
I'm sure that a lot of, especially in Wisconsin with how many casinos we have, I'm sure that they've been working on it for a while. Because, I mean, reservation territories, they are governed much different than like a United States territory, which it doesn't surprise me at all that Oneida got it before the state of Wisconsin in general.
Yeah.
So when are we going?
Have to work something out. So there you go. Indeed. All right, we'll take a break, come back. There's some former Brewer news and notes, a stack of those I got to get to, and some, something that might make you just think a little bit about a few things. That's coming up as well. There's Evan Heffelfinger. That's his real name. My name is Tim Allen. It is the 15th annual, a decade and a half of this, helping out Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest with toy donations, money donations. You can log on to 1250amthefan.com, get all the details, drop off the toys at many, many area fire stations, get all that info. Evan's got a tweet out there. He's going to match every like with a dollar donation. We're well over $100 right now. So that is really good. Make a difference with Children's Wisconsin and the Fan.
WSSP Milwaukee. You're listening to Toy Drive Live as we broadcast for 24 straight hours.
It is Christmas time.
Thank you for listening and happy holidays from the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.